Just want to welcome you. My name is Paul. I'm one of the pastors here, along with Jordan and Ray. And we really want to get to know you. I'm still new here. I'm still trying to get to know people. But it's great if we can connect with each other and realize we're part of a community here. And if you want to do that, you can obviously talk to us during coffee time after the service. But why not also scan the QR code in front of you, which says take your next step. That will help us to be able to reach out to you and send you news of the church during the week. There's a couple of other announcements I just want to make quickly. One is that we're very concerned about violence in Africa, in sub-Saharan Africa. Our brothers and sisters who are Christians are being persecuted. They're being chased from their homes. They're having to flee their towns and villages, and they're having to live in makeshift tents and shelters. And we're very concerned about what's happening over there. The mission, which is called Open Doors, or Porte Ouverte, is encouraging us to sign a petition. Get involved in saying, we want this to stop, we want there to be justice in these different areas where Christians are being persecuted. We want them to be protected, and we also want them to be restored to their lands and homes. In order to for this petition to make a difference, we need to have a lot of people sign it. And so in the newsletter that you'll receive this week, there'll be a link to the petition so that you can sign it yourself and add your voice. But we also want to pray for those Christians who are persecuted. Today there's a class in Authentic Christianity. We continue our class. If you haven't joined it, you're welcome to join it today. It's just studying the main doctrines, the main theological beliefs that we have as Christians and that have been common to the church throughout the ages. So we're going through that week by week, and it's with Brandon in room 3 at 11:30 today. So why don't you join us for that moment of study? We're going to send the kids off to their groups now. So cheerio, kids. Bye-bye. And in the meantime, why don't you turn to your neighbor and tell them who you are and tell them a bit about yourself so that they can feel welcome here. Wonderful. We'll be able to continue those conversations later. But we're going to read from God's word now. We're finishing the letter to the Galatians that we've been listening to over the last few weeks. And before Jordan comes to preach to us, we're going to read it together. And at the end of my reading, I will say, this is the word of the Lord. And if you agree with that, then please say, thanks be to God. Let's stand for the reading in Galatians chapter 6, verse 11 to the end. Galatians chapter 6, I'll read it for us. See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who are circumcised do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may boast in your flesh. But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Yes, go ahead and take a seat. Well, like Pastor Paul said, we are wrapping up our study of the book of Galatians today, here in Galatians chapter 6. And you may have noticed, especially if you've been here the past few months, that in the passage we just read, Paul touches on a lot of the different themes that we've seen so far in the book of Galatians. Now, it's important to remember that Paul intended the book of Galatians to be read in one sitting. Like, we gather for church on Sunday, they pull out, the church in Galatia pulls out the letter from Paul, and he reads it, he reads the whole thing, and then I guess they pray and go home. I don't know. But, you know, it was meant to be read in one sitting. We've spent 12 weeks on this. And so it makes sense for Paul to end his letter kind of summarizing what he said so far, because everyone's just read everything he said. But I don't want to rehash everything Paul has said and everything we've talked about for the past 12 weeks. You know, one of the beautiful things is that we have our sermons on our website. You can go back and watch those. But I don't want to just merely repeat myself. I want to focus specifically on one verse today. There's one verse in particular. We're going to reference other ones, but one verse I want us to really deeply meditate upon today. And that is verse 14, which once again says, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." You know, our 12-week study of Galatians, we titled this series Set Free, because the letter of Galatians is all about how we have been set free in Christ. Christ came and he set us free through the cross. Now, if I could summarize what we should do in response, like how does that impact my life? If I could summarize what we should do in response to being set free by Christ, I would summarize it in verse 14. And if I wanted to even make it shorter, I would say, because we have been set free, we must boast in the cross. Because we have been set free, we must boast in the cross. Now, let's think about this. What does it mean to boast in something? Like, how do I boast in the cross? I actually Googled that this week. How do I boast in the cross? And there's all sorts of articles about it. All Christian websites, theologians have posted things, Bible commentaries. Here's what it means to boast in the cross. And I began to think it's kind of funny because we don't need help boasting in other things. Like, you know, when I became a father back in America, the hospital had like some class they kind of required you to go to, as much as they could require me to go to a class, I don't know, but they really put the burners on us, made us feel like we had to go to this class. And it's like, here's how you be a parent. Here's how you don't break your kid. And so we go to this class for like an hour. But at the end of the class, we talked about a lot of things. They didn't give me any instructions for how to boast in my new kid. Here's what you should post on social media to tell everyone your kid's here. Or think if you accomplished something great, like if you like run a marathon or something. No one at the end of the race, no one at the end of the Brussels Marathon hands you, that I know of, an instruction sheet about how you're going to brag to all your friends that you can run farther than them. Like, boasting comes naturally to us. Like, when we think about things that we love, that we're passionate about, that we're proud of, we boast in them. And that's good. I actually don't think Paul's forbidding that here. I don't think Paul's saying you can only be proud of the cross, only boast in the cross, and you can never, like, be happy about anything else. I don't think that's what he's saying. Like, we should boast in our families or boast in good and right accomplishments. What does the boasting that Paul's talking about mean? Well, this isn't like a superficial, like, oh, I'm just proud of this, I'm happy this happened. The boast Paul's talking about when he says that we should boast only in the cross is deeper. It is a more fundamental boasting of what we value the most. There's a phenomenal book. If you are interested in reading books about Christianity, books about to help you grow in your faith, you need to write this book down, called The Cross of Christ by a British theologian named John Stott. The Cross of Christ. It is probably the, in my opinion, the definitive work in modern history on the cross. He defined boasting, it, specifically what Paul talks about here, like this. John Stott said, boasting means trusting in, rejoicing in, reveling in, and living for. The object of our boast fills our horizons, engrosses our attention, and absorbs our time and energy. The boast that Paul is talking about, when he says, far be it from me to boast in anything except the cross of the Lord Jesus, is whatever thing we should boast in, whatever thing that fills our ultimate love, that captures our ultimate attention and consumes our ultimate energy. That goes deeper than our families. That goes deeper than our accomplishments. This is the thing that we stand on, that we stake our claim on, at the most foundational and fundamental level, that informs even the other things that we love and boast about. My son asked me a couple weeks ago, he said, I can't remember, we were talking about things I love. And he said, do you love me most? And I said, no, I don't love you the most. I love you, my two other children, I love my wife, and I love Jesus more than all of you. He said, whoa. You love Jesus more than me? I said, yes, I do, absolutely. He said, why? I said, son, I can't love you the way that I need to love you if I don't love Jesus more than you. Because my love for Jesus and my standing upon Jesus and my boasting in Jesus is what informs every other love, every other boast in my life. This is what I'm most what we're called to be most fundamentally passionate and passionate about and consumed with. So, this boast that Paul's talking about describes how we, as the people of God, should fundamentally understand not just Jesus, but understand ourselves. I understand myself in light of the cross, and I stake my identity, my sense of myself upon this. This is who we are. This is who we must be. And if we're going to be any help to anybody in Belgium who doesn't know Jesus, if we're going to do any good as a church for anybody who is lost and without Jesus, for the millions of people out these doors who are lost and without Jesus, the people that we interact with on a weekly, a daily basis, if we want to do any good for them, then we must be, like Paul, a people who boast in the cross, who are passionate, public boasters in the cross of Christ. Now, I do want to answer the question that I asked earlier. What does it mean to boast in the cross? Because maybe we still wonder that. Because maybe the way I boast in the cross is different than how I might boast in something else. So how do I boast in the cross? Well, the first thing I can see from Galatians 6 is that those people who boast in the cross are the people who love the cross. Boasting in the cross means loving the cross. I stumbled across a quote maybe like a week or so ago. I can't remember who it's from. But it said this. The quote said, if you want to build a ship, don't drum up men to gather wood, divide the work, and give orders. Instead, teach them to yearn for the vast and endless sea. See, what I don't want to do here, or if all that we've done over the past 12 weeks is merely gather theological wood, divide up facts and ideas about theology, about what Jesus did, what he didn't do, what it means to be here, what it means to be set free, what all this stuff means. If we're just gathering theological wood, dividing up facts, and then handing out little applications, then we fail. That can't be what we're doing. That can't just be, this isn't school, this isn't a university class. This isn't just learn facts about Jesus hour on Sunday morning. My hope and my prayer for us as a people is that we would be people who yearn for the vast and endless glory of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That we would be a people who not just understand what Jesus did, who understand the significance of the cross, but love what Jesus did, yearn to tell people and to meditate upon what Jesus did. See, our love for the cross increases as we understand its value. Our love for the cross increases as we understand its value. I remember years ago, I was having a discussion with a couple worship leaders, and these two worship leaders are having a debate about whether or not every single song that we sing on a Sunday should include a reference to the cross. One of the worship leaders said, yes, we should, because this is why we're singing, why we're redeemed. The other one said, and he kind of lost the argument because he said something foolish. He said, man, if we sing about the cross all the time, it'll start to get old. And we're all like, wait a minute. No, the more we meditate upon the cross, the more we consider its value, the deeper our love for it sinks. The greater our love for it grows. Listen to how Paul talks about this. In verse 11, Paul says, see with what large letters I'm writing to you. Now, the book of Galatians was written by Paul, but it probably wasn't like written by Paul. Paul was probably dictating this letter to a scribe. And then now here at the very end of the letter, Paul takes the pen out of the scribe's hand and says, here, I'm going to write this part myself. And he writes this section that we just read in large letters. So if you're reading the book of Galatians, down at the bottom, the font gets bigger. It's as if Paul is saying, this is so important. What I'm about to say is so important. I want you to hear it from me, from my hand, and I'm going to put it in big letters. I'm like capitalizing, underlining, italicizing, bolding this section. You have to understand and know what I'm saying. So in big letters, Paul is writing, I will boast only in the cross. In big letters, Paul says, I boast only in the cross. Now, he contrasts this in the passage we read with the false teachers who wanted to impose, remember, again, just a small recap here at the end. Remember, the church in Galatia was suffering from a group of false teachers called the Judaizers who had come in, and they were teaching that there is part of being a Christian means observing certain Old Testament laws. That if you don't have Old Testament laws in addition to faith in Jesus, you're out. You're not a Christian. And Paul wrote this whole letter, his first epistle, to combat, to counteract this false teaching. And Paul says here at the end, he says, these false teachers who are trying to force the law on you, they want to make a good showing of you for their own sake. They de-emphasize the cross, whereas I, Paul, am saying, I'm boasting only in the cross. The false teachers in Galatia downplayed the cross. They didn't really want to talk all that much about the cross of Christ, and I think for a couple reasons. First of all, for these false teachers who are prideful, self-righteous, full of themselves, seeking their own glory, the cross was a threat to their status. The cross was a threat to them being able to make themselves look good in Galatia. See, the cross shares glory with no one. Only one guy can fit on a cross. And as long as Jesus is on the cross, as long as the cross is about what Jesus has done, there's no room for us to stand next to him and kind of share some of that glory with him. So the false teachers were downplaying the importance, downplaying the significance of the cross, and playing up law-keeping because I can make myself look good through law-keeping. I can't make myself look good through the cross. That only makes Jesus look good. But I can sure make myself look good through law-keeping. And I can make myself look good if I keep the law and if I convince you to do it. And now you're all my converts, my disciples. Look, see how important I am. See what a good reputation I have. That's the false teachers. The cross was a threat to their own glory, so they downplayed it. The cross was also a source of persecution, Paul says. Paul says that they de-emphasized the cross because they didn't want to be persecuted. The cross was a source of persecution for Christians because the cross was something that was shameful. It's hard for us to imagine this today. Like, you know, we have our cross here. We have crosses all around. Some of us have crosses tattooed on our bodies. It's hard for us to imagine just how offensive this would have been 2,000 years ago and how absurd it would have been to marvel in or bask in or boast in the cross. Like this didn't make early Christians seem sophisticated or deep or intellectual. It made them seem like backward masochistic freaks. That's what it made them like. And again, we have to remember, even though Europe and the Western world is not so devout in their Christianity anymore, our minds have still been shaped by the Christian story. One of the ways that our minds have been shaped by the Christian story is that we give value to the oppressed. We give value to the poor. We cheer for the underdog. We valorize the martyr. That's because of Jesus' story. That shaped the way we think. But that wasn't the case there. Someone who died on a cross was pathetic. They were pathetic. They were cursed. It was ridiculous. Why would you valorize someone like that? And let alone, Christians said, not just we love this man who died on the cross, but we believe this man who died on the cross is God incarnate, the Son of God, who came down, took on human flesh, and then died on a cross, and we're going to valorize him. This invited scorn from the world, hatred of the Jews who rejected Jesus, confusion and mockery from the Romans and the Greeks. This made Christians look ridiculous. Not exactly the ideology you want if your goal is to make yourself look smart and influential, powerful, and good. So these false teachers who were consumed with themselves completely downplayed the cross because it affected their status. It would lead to them suffering, and they didn't want to suffer. They said, man, the sight of the cross should make you nauseous, not proud. False teachers were embarrassed about the cross, and they tried then in Galatia to hide it under layers of law keeping. But Paul, at the end of his letter, writes in big letters, in big font, I boast in the cross alone. I, Paul, boast in the cross. Paul was not a man who was ashamed of the cross, nor was he a man worried about any of the residual glory of the cross not shining on him. He wanted all glory to Jesus, everything pointing to the cross, which is why he said to the Corinthian church, I want to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. That's all Paul wanted. All Paul wanted was for you to know that Jesus died for you. That he is the Messiah who came to take away the sins of the world and bear our sins upon himself. That's what Paul wanted us to know. That's what Paul wanted the people in his day to know. That was his prayer that his people would know. We should ask ourselves this question. Are we embarrassed about the cross? Like, I know that we're not embarrassed about it here. Like, we're okay to talk about it here. We'll talk about the cross. We'll sing about the cross. We'll sing, like we sang with All Sufficient Merit, I thank you for the cross. We'd say all that here. But what about out there? What about when we leave here? Is this just something we relegate to a personal, private devotion, really because we're kind of intimidated by what the cross would mean about people's perception of us? Like, what if your colleagues at work found out that you came here every Sunday and that this wasn't just like Christian social club for you, like you really worship Jesus. Like you really believe he died on the cross. You really believe he resurrected from the dead. You really believe this. This is going to make us seem outdated to the world. Maybe even make us seem a little fanatical. Maybe we're worried about how people would associate us or who they would associate us with if they knew that we were the people of the cross. Maybe we just feel like, well, no one else really talks about the cross and we're sitting here trying to talk about it and no one cares. So I guess I'm not going to talk about it. I don't want to appear like a fool. Are we embarrassed about the cross? Or do we love it? Do we love it and do we boast in it? Is our life and our identity shaped by what Jesus did for us on the cross to the point where we love it so much, we can't help but talk about it. Nobody really needs that much help talking about things they love. If we love the cross, we will boast in the cross. I mean, think about football fans who will sit out in an arena for and watch their favorite game and get snowed on. Like, sit out there in the cold and get snowed on. Think about like people who are like tech guys or like video game guys who will camp out. At least they do it in America. I don't know if they do it here. But they'll camp out on the sidewalk in front of the store overnight waiting for the new iPhone or the new video game to come out so they can buy it. Does that happen here in Europe? Okay. Only Americans would do something like that, I guess. I remember one time standing for like 5 hours to watch my favorite band play at a concert. See, we're willing to embrace suffering. We're willing to embrace inconvenience. We're willing to even embrace some embarrassment for the sake of things that we love. Do we do that for the cross? These are trite and silly examples. Think about these Christians that Pastor Paul just talked about in Africa. The cross truly cost them everything. And for many Christians who suffer in the world, all it would take is for them to renounce it. Okay, I don't follow Jesus anymore. And then their suffering would end. Their children would be able to eat. Their families would be safe. And yet, they cling to the cross and embrace suffering because they know the cross's value and they love it. Do we do the same thing? Do we do the same thing? If boasting in the cross cost us money, if it cost us reputation, if it cost us comfort, then we should gladly let these things go. Nothing is more valuable than the cross upon which the King of Glory died to pay for our sins. Amen? So we boast in the cross because we love the cross. But boasting in the cross doesn't just mean that we love it. I think boasting in the cross also means that we have an unwavering, devoted trust in the cross. Those who boast in the cross love the cross, but they also trust the cross of Christ. Verse 15 in chapter 6 here, verse 15 reminds us that through the cross, law-keeping doesn't matter. What matters is that through the cross, we have been made new. We've been transformed. We've become a new creation. And this is because of what Paul said back in chapter 2, verse 20, where he says, I have been crucified with Christ. Paul says, when Christ died on the cross, he didn't just die, I died with him. The sinful man, the old me, is dead. He was crucified with Christ. So when Christ died on the cross, he took my sin upon himself and he killed with himself my sinfulness so that a new me, a new creation, can rise from the dead with him. I can be transformed. Paul again tells the Corinthians that he who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has gone away and the new has come. The old me is dead. Sin no longer has dominion over me and my condemnation is gone. How do I know this though? How can I be assured of this? How can I know for sure, with absolute certainty, with no doubt, that my condemnation before the Lord is gone forever? I trust in the cross. I boast in the cross. I put my faith in the Savior who died on the cross. That's how I can know. I trust what Jesus did on the cross. The cross assures me that I have been set free in Christ. The cross is where all legalism and works-based righteousness go to die. The cross is where any trust in myself goes to be destroyed. The cross reminds me that my baptism, my church membership, my spiritual disciplines, my good works mean nothing when it comes to my justification before the Lord. Those are all good things, but they're nothing when it comes to my justification before the Lord. And if my trust is in those things, I'm going to have a rocky relationship with the Lord. But if my trust is in the cross and my boast is in the cross, I can know that my condemnation is gone. I can know that I have been set free. We also when we look at the cross, we don't look at our own righteousness, but we also don't look at our own doubts, our own failures. And we don't see these things as reasons to doubt whether or not God loves us. Like, how do I know that God loves me? Like, have you ever wondered that? Like, you think about your sin in your life, the things that you do, the things that you do or the things that you don't do. And do you ever wonder, how can I know that God even loves me? I'm not even sure I love myself all the time. How can I know that God loves me? Is it because of what you do? Or is it because of what group you belong to? Is it because of who your parents are? Who your pastor is? What small group you're in? Is that why God loves you? Is that how you can know that he loves you? No. How can I know that God loves me? Romans 5:8 says this, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The cross is the proof that God loves me, and it is the best and clearest and brightest picture of his love for me. It was love that compelled God the Father to send God the Son to die on the cross in our place. God did not send Christ to come and die for us only to turn his back on us later because we screwed up. God's grace displayed at the cross, his love demonstrated at the cross, is greater than our sin. It is more sure than our fickleness, and it will endure forever. How can I know that my condemnation is gone and that God loves me? I look to the cross, and because of the assurance that the cross gives me, I boast in the cross. Even as I sin, I boast in the cross. When we sin, which we will, we all do. When we sin, we must not wallow in our failure afterward. When we think about our own shortcomings, we don't wallow and say, oh, I'm so bad. I'm just the worst. I'm so that. No, stop thinking about yourself and boast in the cross, even in your sin. Boast in the cross. Listen to what Martin Luther said about this. He said, "So when the devil throws your sins in your face and declares that you deserve death and hell, tell him this: I admit that I deserve death and hell. What of it? For I know one who suffered and made satisfaction on my behalf. His name is Jesus Christ, Son of God, and where he is, there I shall be also. I'm not good enough. I always fail. Yes, you do. But Jesus didn't fail. Jesus paid for your sins on the cross. Jesus was the victorious one. So as we even reflect on our own failures and our own shortcomings, we can boast all the more gladly in the perfection and righteousness of Christ and his work for us on the cross. If Christ died for us, then we can trust that nothing can separate us from him. So, we boast in the cross by loving the cross. We boast in the cross by trusting in the cross. Finally, those who boast in the cross are those who proclaim the cross. If we are going to boast in the cross, we are going to proclaim the cross. In verse 17, Paul gets to the end of his epistle. He gets to the very end, the second to last verse, and he says, "I bear in my body the marks of Jesus." I bear the marks of Jesus. What does that mean? It's kind of a weird phrase to say. I bear the marks of Jesus. What could he mean by that? Well, I think he could mean two things. One, he could be talking about his own, like, scars, his own wounds, like the evidences of his boasting in the cross. Like, I have wounds on me. I've been beaten. I've been stoned. I've been flogged. I've been imprisoned. I've been all of these things. And I bear in my body the marks that I really am going to boast in Jesus. That could be what he means in one sense. There's another sense he could mean. In his day, it was very popular for people to, very common for people to brand their body in some way. Maybe, you know, tattoo themselves or mark their body in some way to signify allegiance to whatever god they worshipped. People in that day kind of, you know, I know there's like a pantheon of Roman gods. They didn't necessarily worship all the gods. Maybe they worshiped one, or they really emphasized one. So they'd mark themselves to say, I'm one of the people who worship this god. And Paul could be saying, in a figurative sense, I bear in my body the marks of Jesus. I'm one who's been marked as a follower of Jesus. So it could be a figurative, it could be literal. I think it could be both. But my money is on it being both of those things. Paul boasted in the cross by proclaiming it to any and everyone. Like, I imagine Paul would have been someone who was, like, belligerent about talking about the cross, and maybe if you spent an afternoon with Paul, you might even get annoyed with how much he talked about it. I think that's the kind of man he was. This is, like, what he was about, boasting in the cross of Christ. Like, if you put Paul's cells under a microscope and you looked at it, you'd probably see boasting in the cross in his DNA. Like, this is who he is. And he suffered for it. Paul was beaten, like I said, stoned, imprisoned. He was eventually killed for his faith by Emperor Nero. He wore his boasting. Paul externally wore his boasting. The cross shaped Paul's identity, his sense of himself. He was a man purchased, redeemed, and appointed by God to proclaim the cross to the world. And listen, Paul did not care what proclaiming the cross cost him, because he knew what the cross purchased for him. He didn't care what proclaiming the cross cost him, because he knew what the cross gave him. You could not offer Paul enough money, enough power, enough comfort, enough pleasure, enough authority to compare with what the cross purchased for him. Take these things away from him. And yet he still has the most valuable thing by having the cross, because the cross gives him freedom, eternal life. Most importantly, the cross gave him Jesus. The cross reconciled him to God, and he gets Christ. That's the reward. God is the reward of our salvation. All the things that we get when we get saved, all the things that we get when we come to the cross, community with each other, freedom from our sin, peace in our lives, all these things pale in comparison to Jesus. I get Christ. So you can't offer me anything else. That's what I want. And now I want you to know this amazing thing that I have, that I've been given through the cross. So Paul could say, beat me, stone me, imprison me, kill me. I don't care. Remember the Princess Bride? Remember when the guy's sword fighting the guy and he says, offer me money, offer me power, offer me anything I want. I just want my father back. That's Paul. Offer me money, offer me power, offer me anything. I don't care. I just want you to know that Jesus died for you. Brothers and sisters, again, let's ask ourselves, how often are we silent about the cross? How often do we miss our opportunities to proclaim it because we are afraid or concerned about what proclaiming the cross would cost us? For some of us, it might cost a reputation. For some of us, it could cost our job. For some of us, it could cost relationships with other people. If we were truly devoted to boasting about the cross, I don't mean like being a jerk for Jesus. I mean being a very public Christian. Do we boast in the cross the way Paul did? By proclaiming it, by simply talking about it to anyone who would listen? Do we do what the false teachers did and downplay the importance of the cross? What many people can do is they can begin to twist what the cross is about and make it about something different, something more palatable. Like the cross is really about the emotional comfort that God wants to bring you. Jesus died because, you know, he wants to bring comfort and peace to your life. Or the cross is just like a social justice thing, like Jesus died on the cross as a symbol of, standing up against oppressive governing powers. We're just going to downplay the significance of the cross, make it a little easier for people to understand, to swallow. Or do we treat the cross like it's something just for us and like there isn't a city full of people out there who need to hear about it? What would Brussels look like if the Christians here were truly passionate about boasting in the cross and proclaiming it to people? How would Brussels transform? And if you don't think Brussels could transform, if you think, Jordan, you're just kind of saying nonsense things, Brussels would be easier to transform than ancient Judea was. Brussels would be easier to transform than the Roman Empire was. And yet these things were transformed by the cross. Within a few years after Christ ascended to heaven, people are already saying that the Christians are turning the world upside down. These people who won't shut up about the cross, who go around proclaiming the cross to everyone who will listen, are turning the world upside down. Could we do that in Brussels? We absolutely could. The question is, will we? Will we proclaim the cross? Will we boast in the cross? Or will we keep this to ourselves and reserve it for just our little hobby on Sunday mornings that we do with our friends? What if we were borderline obnoxious about it? Like everywhere we went, the cross was on our lips. Like what if every eye that saw us, every ear that heard us, every mind that thought about us was confronted with the reality that Jesus died for our sins? Are we bold to stand in whatever public square we find ourselves in and boldly say with our chest, I boast in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? Some of our students, are you willing to be the only teenager at your school of hundreds of students there? College students, the only students in your university, really, maybe a handful, who are willing to say publicly and proudly, I follow Jesus, I boast in the cross, and you should follow him too? I hope we are. Because brothers and sisters, governments, ideologies, intellectuals, ideas, all of these things fall and they fade away. They all come and go. They all rise and fall. But the cross will forever stand at the center of history, at the center of God's redemptive work. Paul was killed for his boasting, like I said before, by Emperor Nero. Nero's dead, and we don't talk about Nero all that much, but we're still reading what God wrote through Paul. Those who boast in the cross, who stake their lives upon the cross, funny enough, contrary to the Judaizers who wanted to be remembered, no one remembers them. We don't have any of their writings, no one cares. But Paul, who stood upon the cross, who boasted in the cross, God used his obedience to bless his people through millennia. How would God use our obedience to boast in the cross where we are today? Through the cross, God is reconciling the world to himself. He's reconciling Brussels to himself through the cross. God's doing that, whether we participate in it or not. Will we, though? Will we join in God's work of redemption here in Brussels by loving the cross, trusting in the cross, and proclaiming it as we boast about it? A few weeks ago, someone at church came to me after church, and they said, hey, Pastor, I want to talk to you about something very important. I'm very concerned about something. Whoa, hey. I started thinking about what I said. Like, well, what did I say? Maybe I said something stupid when I was preaching. We went back in the office, shut the door, sat down, and he looked at me and he said, I'm very concerned because we do not have a cross in our sanctuary. I said, oh, huh. yeah, I guess we don't have a cross in our sanctuary. And he said, the cross is the reason we're here. The cross is the reason that we worship. It's the reason that we can come, because we've been set free by what God has done for us in the cross. We need a cross, not so we can worship it, but so that we can remember what Jesus did for us. You know, sometimes when people bring concerns to me, I think, oh, I need to think about that. I'll think about it. Maybe I'll pray about it, get back. I thought, I don't need to pray about it. I agree with you. Let's do it. He's absolutely right. And that's part of the reason why we have a cross in here now. The cross is what we're built upon here at LifePoint Brussels. We are going to be a people of the cross. We are a people who boast not in our ideas, not in our talents, not in our preferences, not in our style, not in our, you know, whatever ministries. We are a people who are going to boast in the cross, because Brussels will not be redeemed by a church that has a bunch of flashy, cool stuff. Brussels will be redeemed by churches who stand upon the cross of Christ and boldly boast in what the cross has done. There are so many ideologies circling around out there that people think will save them. Political ideologies, social ideologies, economic ideologies, none of it will work. What our world needs is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what we needed. It's what we have been redeemed, set free by. Brothers and sisters, may we always stand upon it and be bold to proclaim it and boast in it. I want to invite the band to come up, and we are going to remember why we can trust the cross by taking the Lord's Supper together now. So the cross isn't powerful just because it's two pieces of wood nailed together. It's powerful because of what Jesus did when he died on it. He died to take our sins away and absorb our condemnation and set us free. So we're going to remember that as we take the Lord's Supper. The band's going to get set up. I want to invite you, I'm going to pray for just a moment. And I'm going to invite you to take a moment and pray where you are. Maybe reaffirm your trust and your love for the cross by bringing certain maybe sins that you have that you need to confess to the Lord and speaking to him for a moment. And then when you are ready, you can come up to the front to gather the elements for me, or Pastor Paul will be in the back. And then take them back to your seat, and then I'll give further instructions there. So let's pray together first. Father God, we remember that there is nothing that can wash away our sin, nothing that can make us whole, nothing that can bring us righteousness or peace or hope outside of what your Son has done for us on the cross. We remember that the Lord Jesus said, "It is finished," as he died. Right before he offered his last breath, the condemnation that we deserved was placed upon him. He died in our place because of our sins, so that we can be set free and you could be proven to be both just and the justifier of all who come to faith in Christ. So God, we give all the glory to you. We give the glory to your Son. We give the glory to the Holy Spirit who applies his work to our lives. We give glory to you, Father, who has sent the Son and sent the Holy Spirit to us. Our triune God, three in one, we give glory to you for the work that you accomplished through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, make us people who love the cross. Nothing that I can say, no songs that we sing, no atmosphere that we create, none of this can produce love for the cross. Only you can do that by the grace of the Holy Spirit. And so, Spirit of God, we ask that you would help us do this. Help us love the cross and cultivate that love within us. God, help us to be people who trust the cross. How often Satan comes to try to sow doubts in our minds, or how often we think about our own shortcomings. God, turn our eyes away from ourselves and toward the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, and let us anchor our hope to the cross. And God, make us a people. By your grace, Lord, make us a people who would proclaim the cross with boldness, who would boast about it with passion, so that people here in our lives would know Christ, who would find the life that we have found in him and also be set free from their sin and their condemnation through the cross of the Lord Jesus. Father, the cross is the reason that we can stand here and sing. So Lord, let us boast in the cross even as we take the Lord's Supper, even as we close out worshiping together. We say all of these things in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You take a moment where you are and pray. Go before